This morning we have a special guest that is going to come and share with us. And at the end of service, don't leave. We have some announcements for you, some things that are coming up that are very, very important. But the guest speaker this morning has been a very important person in my life. You know, the Bible tells us there are people who gives us an example of a master who had servants, and he gave one of them one talent, and he gave one of them two talents, and he gave one of them five talents. And I've always felt like I was kind of the one and a half guy. You know, I mean, like I feel like I'm pretty good maybe at one thing, but after that, it's just a crapshoot after that. We'll just hope. All right. The person that's coming to speak for us this morning is a five talent person, and I don't want to make him uncomfortable, but I feel that way about him. And he's been a friend of mine for a long time. Has a beautiful journey with the Lord, beautiful family, and God has just blessed him in so many ways. Travels around the world connecting pastors and church leaders and people who need Jesus all over the place. I mean, just came back. I won't even tell you. I mean, just came back from some crazy places where God is just using him and his wife and doing some amazing things. Lynn, his wife, is actually speaking in kids' church this morning. She's been a children's pastor for 25, 28 years, something like a long time. Amen. And yeah. And so, I'm very grateful. And so, you know, some people are not lucky enough to be born in Texas, but they get here as quick as they can. That was me. That was me. Listen, the old Texan said, I wasn't born here, wasn't raised here, but I got here as quick as I could. And Mark Swank, who's going to be speaking for us this morning, he wasn't born in Texas. He was born in Michigan. We won't hold that against him. All right. He lives in Tennessee. I'm not going to hold that against him, but he comes to Texas a lot, all right? I feel like he wants to be here, just can't figure out how to make it permanently. And so I want us, if you would just stand with me and give him a Texas welcome this morning.
Thank you so much, and Texas is my favorite place to come. You know, I've been on the verge several times of getting boots, even though I don't live here, you know? You know, it's a privilege. Actually, this is, I think, the second time that I've been at your church, but I think the last time I was here, Luke was probably about 14 inches shorter. And so he has really shot up, so what a handsome young man. You know, your pastor, Patrick and Jody, they are trusted friends, and they're incredible leaders, and they love you, love you, love you. And you're very blessed to have them. And I remember the first time I met Patrick. He was telling me a story about when he was pastoring this church, but he didn't like this church because he wouldn't have chose to attend this church. And he was trying to figure out how he got trapped in pastoring a church. And then he shared the story of how God opened his eyes, how that they needed to be outward, not inward, and it wasn't about the church, but it was about the people that need to be here. And he did the hard work of bringing change. So I admire you, and I love the fruit, so this is awesome. Also, we're blessed to have been able to hang out last night with Jack and Shelley, and I did slay a pig last night. I'm just letting you know. And I love your youth pastor, Zach. We've been friends a long time. And so, first of all, I wanted to share, on behalf of Church of God World Missions is where I work, I wanted to thank you guys for your generous giving to missions, most recently the earthquake relief in Turkey and Syria. So you send it at the right time when it's needed so that people can earn the right to share the gospel because they're meeting those immediate needs, and you've done an awesome job. And our mission is we're trying to reach the last, the least, and the lost of humanity, and your partnership has helped do that. So I'm super excited. And how many of you have been praying the four prayers or things that Pastor brought up about? Healing, provision, the unsaved, labors, and the harvest. Okay. How many of you are going to start praying for healing, provision? Yes. All right. In talking with Pastor about coming, he said, how about if you talk about labors and the harvest? And I thought, awesome. Because when you look at that passage in Matthew chapter 9, verse 37 and 38, it says, then he, Jesus, said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. How many of you know it's his harvest? And I remember pastoring. I did my four-year tour of duty. And my biggest struggle, Patrick, was I wanted it more than they wanted it. I was trying to turn an inward-focused church outward. And I wanted it for their kids more than they wanted it for their kids. And as much as I wanted it, God wants his harvest more than we do. He wants it. Verse continues, it says, actually, I did cover the verse. Thank you. Okay. Yeah. So the question is this, what if the last two prayers you pray for the lost and for the laborers, what if you are the answer to your prayers? What if actually you are the answer to your prayers? You know, 2 weeks ago, I had just got back from Africa. And I mean, it was, you know, about 28-hour journey by the time you get to where you land. And our luggage got messed up, and we decided to stay in Atlanta because my youngest daughter, who's 18 like Luke, was finishing her last regional volleyball tournament. So I didn't have my clothes. I didn't have, you know, I had what I was wearing. And the next morning, I got up at 6:15 a.m. after taking a 28-hour journey. And when we were in Zambia, it was amazing because we had over 700 people that we were able to train. Well over 700 people accepted Christ at some of the outreaches. It was a beautiful thing. But at 6:15 in the morning, I'm hoofing it to Dunkin' Donuts to get my daughter some food because she has to be at 7 o'clock at the arena. And as I'm walking in downtown Atlanta, I see a homeless guy under a blanket at 6:15 in the morning, and it was actually cold. And out of my mouth came this prayer, God help him. And then the Holy Spirit said, no, you help him. Now, you don't know me that well, but I immediately started rationalizing with God why I can't help him at this moment. You know, God, I just got back from Africa. We had 700 people saved. That didn't seem like enough. So I started going, I used to lead inner city ministry and worked with homeless in Atlanta, Chicago, Miami, other places. God, this is my senior year for my daughter. And I've only got time to go do this and go. So God, help him. And God said, no, Mark, you help him. What if you are God's answer? You know, before we dig deep into Matthew 9, I wanted to share about a man who marked my life with this thinking. Didn't really matter his age because he was in his 70s. Didn't really matter his health because he had early Parkinson's by this time. But the first week of 1992, right after communism had fell in the Soviet Union, I was asked to go with Dave Lanier, big guy, in his 70s, to smuggle money into Russia for church planting. And so I had the privilege to travel with Dave for like a week. I learned that while most people in their 70s retired, Dave had been going to China to smuggle Bibles. He had just got back from China. And I'm just amazed with this mountain of a man, early Parkinson's, smuggling Bibles into China, who's now piggybacking money to Russia. And he said, Mark, he said, I finally met this woman that I've been trying to meet in China on this last trip. Because she's legendary that she's been raising up leaders to go to the ends of the earth in China. And I finally tracked down where she lived, and I went there with an interpreter, and I introduced myself. And again, he's this big. She probably couldn't be more than that. And he said, I am so glad to meet you, and I've just heard that you make disciples that go to the farthest places of the earth. And she said through the interpreter, well, I'm glad to meet you. And actually, I have a couple here that I'm discipling to go to Tibet. Now, I don't know if you know much about Tibet, but it's the coldest place on the planet. Animals don't even like living in Tibet. And so she called out the couple that she's discipling. He got to meet them, and he said, I am so glad that you want to go to Tibet. And they said, in broken English, we don't want to go to Tibet. And he said, you don't? And they said, no, she make us go to Tibet. And then the woman spoke and said, I tell them, if there's no go ye, there's no get ye. What if we are his answer? You know, if you look at Matthew's call, it's beautiful because Matthew was actually a pretty notorious sinner when Jesus called him, and then later he wrote. He had this journey of transformation in his life before he was a tax collector. It's kind of like the IRS. We don't even know if they have souls, correct? And tax collectors were notoriously corrupt. They extorted far more than was owed, and they had the government's Roman soldiers to enforce whatever they wanted. And in chapter 9 of Matthew, verse 9, it says, and Jesus went from there, and he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. Follow me, he said. He told him, and Matthew got up and followed him. Everybody say, got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. Verse 11 says, when the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? Upon hearing this, Jesus said, now this is my translation, no, duh, that's why I came. But actually Jesus said, it's not for the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. And then Jesus quoted from the book of Hosea 6:6, which says, but go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have not come to call righteous, but sinners. In essence, I desire to show love, compassion, and mercy, not merely people who follow rules. Now, I think the interesting part is the target audience of Matthew that he was actually writing to was the religious community. And the religious community of that day loved rules more than they loved people. Let that sink in. And if you think about it, God used a former tax collector who people hated and transformed his life so that he could write the gospel. Now in verse 9, it says, after Jesus, the Savior of the world, extends the two most powerful words, follow me, Matthew has change. Matthew's life changed forever, and it was his defining moment. Now, a defining moment is described as an event, crossroads, or moment in time that propels you in a direction or changes your trajectory for the rest of your life. Matthew's defining moment is something that each of us face when we encounter the Savior of the world. It's a defining moment when we have to decide and answer this question, what am I doing in response to Jesus' love invitation to follow him? What am I doing in response to Jesus' love invitation to follow him? You know, unfortunately, sometimes people accept Jesus but ignore his call to followership. It's like they pray the prayer. They want forgiveness, which he freely gives. That's why he came. But when the next expected step of followership should kick in, they stop. You see, Jesus' call on our lives to relationship through salvation is a call of followership as well. Because he wants us to take up our cross daily. And where salvation is that free gift that no one can earn, followership is actually a heart issue. It's a heart issue of, will I surrender my will, my thoughts, my wants, my attitudes, my truth to his truth? And followership really is about a 9-letter word that kind of sounds like a 4-letter word to us, if you know what I mean. The 9-letter word is obedience. And his call to salvation, relationship, and followership, once obedience kicks in, is a costly call. Fact is this, Jesus calls us to follow him so we can become more like him. It's like he holds up a mirror and wants us to see what needs to change so that we can be transformed into his image. That's what new birth or being born again is all about. I believe you can't separate followership from salvation. And Jesus called Matthew from a lifestyle of sin, not just to hang with him, but to be transformed, so much so that he had to have a name change. He went from Levi to Matthew. And I think this is important because, you see, Levi had a past. How many of you had a past? You know, verse 9, it says, Jesus saw him. The all-knowing, all-powerful God looks into Matthew's life, sees and knows his current state of sin, and with compassion, Jesus calls forth his future. How many of you remember when Jesus eyes saw you and he found you and he called forth your future? How many of you remember that? Now, I think let's do a quick confessional to help us remember. Everybody, repeat after me. I was hopelessly lost, a real mess, in desperate need of a Savior. When I found Jesus. That may be the truest statement your spouse has said in a month. But reality, that's our song. We were hopelessly, I was lost without him. I got saved at 7. I got delivered, I guess, from comic books and M&Ms or something. I don't know. But let me just tell you, I would be an absolute flip in the mess without him transforming my life. So after verse 9 comes verse 10. I love how math works. And it says, after Jesus said, ekaluthemoi, or follow me, says Matthew got up and followed. Then he began to gather all of his friends to meet this guy named Jesus, because he was God's answer to his prayers. He didn't wait for somebody else. He was transformed, and it took action. And you know, the beauty of change that's deep, and in his, the name was even changed. It's beautiful, but sometimes in church, we have a hard time forgetting people's past. We have a hard time letting people's name change or turn that leaf. Run with me on this, a little closer to home. What if God wants to save people we've written off? What if God wants to save your mother-in-law? What if God wants to save your ex-spouse? What if God wants to save your spouse? Would we allow them to have their name changed? So back to Matthew. By the world's standards, Matthew had a good thing going. He was wealthy. He was protected. He had a future that seemed to be secure. And then the Savior of the world called forth his future, and he left a life of wealth and security for poverty and uncertainty. He recklessly abandoned all for the costly cause. Matthew's defining moment was not focused on his past mistakes or missed moments. It was a moment not limited to his present situation. It was a moment with potential or destined to change his life's trajectory. In essence, it was a pregnant moment that would change everything. And Matthew's response was, he got up and he followed him. Now, Matthew didn't follow with just words. He did it with action steps of obedience. You know, Pastor Patrick, sometimes I run into believers that live a life of chronic chaos, is the best way to put it. And much of it is due to a resistance to follow Christ in obedience. Matthew later records in chapter 16, verse 24, whoever wants to be a disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. You know, in this passage, the word life is not talking about Zoe or physical life. The Greek word used is psyche, which means whoever loses their identity for me finds it. You know, over the last several decades, culture has tried to chip away at God's perfect love and say that if God is love, he has to love me exactly as I am. And he has to let me choose how I'd live if he loves me. And I can live however I want because God is love, and I define what it means to be love. And the fact is this, while we were yet sinners, he loved us. And he did so much that he died for us. And he chose us when we were in sin, but he chose us so he could not leave us in sin, but so that we could be transformed into his image. You know, sometimes we're saying, well, I was just born this way. True, everybody's born in sin. Everybody has their own issues. I got a plethora of issues that I have to submit to the Lordship of Christ. We're all born with a propensity to sin in some area or another, but that's what new birth is all about. Yeah, if there's one thing I wish the millennials and the younger ones could understand is this: there is no my truth and your truth. There's only his truth. There's only his truth. And I have to lay my identity, no matter what it is, down at his cross, because he saved me to transform me into his identity, his image. Why? Because he loves me. Pastor Michelle and the team would come. You know, in the past, this past January, I had the privilege to be in Thailand and got to see some amazing things because we've got ministry taking place among the Hill Tribes people in northern Thailand that date back to Genghis Khan. And then we got to see God starting to move in a Buddhist culture. Less than half of 1% saved, and our missionaries have been asked to, in 3 universities, provide 90-minute hope sessions for college students. Because the pressure in the culture and the pressure on the college students, and you mix that with COVID, they were finding rampant depression, anxiety, and suicide. And they're not a Christian university at all. They're Buddhist. But they went to our missionaries, and now 3 universities have hope sessions taking place each week. It's kind of cool because they've had over 408 students go through. They've had 77 that actually then come to the Jesus Quest movement, which is their off-campus where they start practicing the actions of Jesus. Okay. Now, notice I didn't say take the name of Jesus and just see it, but practicing the actions of Jesus. And every week is a different action. And so you have really kind of pre-converts trying to follow Jesus, and he's showing himself to them as they start to follow. And they have them give out food to the hungry people in Jesus' name, and they're Buddhists, a couple of them Muslims. And they had them go and pray for the sick in the name of Jesus. ...19% are choosing to go to the off-campus experience, which is a revival in any culture. Now, the Apostle Paul, Galatians 2:20 says, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me, which means I have to die so I can start living for him. And I think some here today maybe have a need to accept Christ. To be honest, in churches like this, you have people circling in, and they kind of float in, and they're being drawn. Frank was sharing his testimony to me earlier, which was so beautiful, Frank. He cried when he was sharing his testimony. But sometimes they float in, and they hang out a few weeks, months. that they've held back on because they can't understand somebody that loves them unconditionally. That may be you. There's others here today that maybe you've accepted Christ, but you didn't realize there was actually a cost. You know, it's like, I didn't want to go to hell. Hey, I'm not a rocket scientist, but I don't want to go to hell. Yeah, I need Jesus. But you didn't realize there's this followership, obedience kicker. I think sometimes we forget the Old Testament names of Jesus, you know, Jehovah Nissi, Jehovah Jireh. The one, my favorite, that we usually forget is Jehovah Sneaky. He sneaks up on you. And some, he's sneaking up on you this morning. Because you've accepted him, but you've been fighting the obedience, submission to his lordship. But you're not going to find true peace, and you won't find transformation until you start following. So to me, I think for some, the third call might be, I've served at a level, but I have not fully found my potential for his cause. Yeah, recently we met Dr. Tanya Hawthorne and Linda Brown, missionaries to Kenya. I'm always amazed how a doctor lives in Kenya as a missionary. Think about Matthew leaving everything. And Linda was probably around 50 when God called her to missions. She had a good job, worked hard. Christian TV, even. And then Jehovah Sneaky. So I said that to say this. I don't think everybody's supposed to move to Kenya. But I think sometimes we put defined limits on how he can use us. And he wants to use you so that you get out of the kiddie pool of following him and get into the ocean. The kiddie pool has safe boundaries, and you can do it in your own strength, to be honest. But sometimes he wants you out in the deep end, the ocean, where you can't reach the bottom, you don't know where the bottom is, and you don't know what's out there. And actually, when he uses you in that way, you can't even take credit for it. My assumption is today, for some, he's calling you to go deeper in being the answer to your prayer to reach the lost and to up your level of serving as a laborer, Pastor.
Amen. Amen. Man, I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm struggling with this one. I feel like I just want to obey the Lord for just a I want to obey him for a second. He's kind of sneaky. I just learned. We have an opportunity. This was not planned. None of this is planned. We have an opportunity. We have a connection. I just found out recently that we would be able to give away food, boxes of food. Really, trailers full of food here in South Irving every week if we want to do it. Okay, and so here's the deal, though. The connection is there, the food is there, and the laborers. And I haven't, this is not a guilt thing, because I haven't presented it to anybody yet. But that option is there for us that every week we could pick up loads of food and pass it out to people here in South Irving who need it. And so I'm just going to put this out there. I'm not a hype guy. I don't like it. I don't like salesmanship. All right. I'm going to put Frank on the spot. Frank's going to be right over here in just a little bit. If you are interested in serving on a team to give out food weekly here in South Irving, I want you to come tell Frank. Just write your name down. There's no details yet. Just come see Frank right at the end of service. He'll write your name down, and we'll get it. We're gonna start moving forward in that one. This is an ocean thing. This is outside the kiddie pool. I mean, this is big commitment. And so, I just want to put that out there. If you're interested, if you feel like the Holy Spirit is laying that on your heart, then see Frank right after service. This message to me is two things: inspiring and maddening at the same time, because we want to do what God is calling us to do, and at the same time we've got to figure out, okay, what's the next step? And that sometimes working through our own feelings, like Mark just said, that the couple said we don't want to go to Tibet. She told us we're going. I think sometimes God has to tell us, this is what I need you to do. And sometimes we struggle with that. Is this God's voice? Is this going to work? Should I do this? And we think oftentimes that every time it's God's will, that everything's just going to line up perfectly. But nothing lined up perfectly for Matthew in this story that we just heard about. It didn't line up perfectly. He had to change his life to follow Christ. And so when he said, I'm praying for laborers into my harvest. I want people to be touched and changed. I just want to challenge us. That's it. I just want to challenge us with this last word. We're going to pray, and then Jody's going to come and share some announcements. What is God calling you to do? Maybe you're already in the middle of it, doing exactly. Maybe you've already worked through this process of, this is what God has me doing, and you know that this is it. Or maybe you're sort of on the edge. And thinking about what your next step looks like in your journey with the Lord. Now, God's probably not going to take you from never serving at all to Kenya today, all right? So don't get scared. I've heard people say that. I'm afraid to get saved because I'm afraid God's going to send me to Africa as a missionary. I'm like, easy, buddy. Let's just get saved first, all right? Don't worry about that. Let's just handle this step. So what is the next step in your journey with the Lord? And I believe God's going to use us and God's going to bless us. So I want to pray and ask Jody to come on up. Father, right now, God, we're asking you to guide us. We're asking you, Lord, to pour your Spirit on us, to use us for your glory. I thank you, God, for the folks in this church who serve, that make our dream team work, that make this whole thing work, that serve you daily. And God, we know, Lord, they're already laborers in the harvest, God. I'm so thankful to be a part of that. But Lord, we all know that there is a next step and a next thing in our lives. And we just ask you, Lord, today to guide us and help us to feel your presence and to be emboldened through your power to take that next step in reaching the harvest for you. And we thank you right now in Jesus' name. Amen.
And praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Man, God is amazing. I feel the same way, that God is just stirring us. He's taking us to that next level, that God has more for us. And this message is like reiterating that all through Wednesday night and through the last few weeks. So stir those gifts within you in the name of Jesus. You know, I want to share a couple of quick things. One, are there any men in the room? Hello, I thought there were a few. Are there breakfast on the creek, May 20th at Pastor Jack's house? Ladies, don't go. We don't want to go. You can bring your fishing pole, guys, if you want to, but it's at 9 o'clock. Pull out your app. Pull out your app. Go to your More tab and sign up there. All right. Next thing is Mother's Day, y'all. It's next week, so y'all bring your moms and let's just celebrate our moms together. Everyone in this room has had a mom, or there is a woman in their life, and you know what? It may not be your mom. Maybe it's a mom, your neighbor, that won't have kids around. Bring them with you and let's celebrate them together next week. Super special day, because you know what? It's Mother's Day and they get to celebrate me. Wah wah wah! So I already gave them my Mother's Day list. list, by the way. It's an Amazon list. It says Jody's Mother's Day gift. No, that's not really true, but that's a good idea. Do it. So next is, how about any sisters in the house? Yes, there are sisters in the house, because in 2 weeks, the day after the appointment breakfast, we are having sister night. Y'all, it's going to be the biggest birthday party. We're going to celebrate every woman's birthday party all in one night. And what we're going to do is, I want you to bring a little pair of socks, festive socks, new socks preferably. And we're going to gift them at our little tables, and we're going to all be sporting some cool socks and take some fun photos and celebrate our birthdays together, because I love a celebration, and it's going to be a celebration. And finally, you guys remember that there are four ways to give. And you can give on the kiosk. You can give on your app on the, just go to the app. You can give on our website, and you can give in the box at the back of the sound booth. And you guys, we just love you so much and are so thankful that you're here. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for each person in this building. God, we lift your name on high. We celebrate you today. God, the reason that we are here, I pray that they are not Mark Swank inspired, but I pray that they are God inspired, Jesus inspired today. And that as we walk out of this room, we will be changed for eternity. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen.